It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, it is a football Friday, but a reaction Monday as the Texans lose, but we will get to that. But this is also a really big time for the Astros. They have a chance, fellas, to clinch the division tonight if they can beat the Mariners. This is the series we have been talking about, and they've been able to clear a five-game lead in this series heading into this thing. So even if they got swept somehow by the Mariners, they would still completely be in the driver's seat. You don't see that occurring, though. They had a pretty good weekend in terms of winning yesterday. The big stories to me, Clint, to look at is the health of Yordan Alvarez and Tyler and Cheryl. Let me know if you hear anything that is the latest with that. I do know he is not in the lineup today. As we see that, the lineup real quick for today's game: Altuve, Tucker, Bregman, and then Diaz is catching with Singleton as the DH and Caratini at first. Why not just put John at first? He's the better first baseman defensively. Anyway, Caratini at first, Pena at short, Hayward in left, and Myers in center. But there is no Yordan. Yordan yesterday exited the game with a right knee contusion. And then later on, the manager, Joe Espada, said that he is undergoing imaging on his right knee, but said he is pretty sore. So that is the big key clearly right now, Clint, is, I mean, you got to have that. The Astros moving forward have to have him for them to get where they want to get to.
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's without Yordan, you got problems. And that's assuming that everybody swings it well, you still got problems.
Taking that damn extra base.
I'm just telling you, man.
Go right to his knees, Clint?
I'm going to be honest with you.
Tyler, see him go right to his knees?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be this guy, y'all, but this has got some real diva.
Oh,
I need a break.
They're surgically repaired.
Bro, it was like when I heard, I was like, man, there must have been some kind of collision. He must have hit the bag weird. There must be one at something. No, it was a good slide. I mean, it was a normal slide. Have we ever seen anybody normal slide pop up on the bag and the contact with the dirt with his bent leg is what's injured him?
Would you have surgically repaired knees like he does, you're at risk.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not comfortable with the gingerly walking off. Sure, I would be okay with, hey, man, let's just stay at first, Yordan. Let's not, especially at this point in the season. Now, hell with that. Anytime in the regular season, how about you just take one less base? How about that, big fella? I'd be okay with that approach, but come on, man. Come on, man.
Hey, man, just letting you know, man, my feelings.
Boy. I mean, that's a basic little old slide, man. And he went rubbing his knees, scaring me like that, man.
He got in there and went down to his and grabbed his knees like he just finished conditioning.
If this dude gets hurt just with a basic slide into second with no contact, no jar,
right.
No nothing,
perfect.
Then Ron, I'm gonna have to tip my cap to you. You just gonna have to be right. If he is seriously injured, and I don't mean like seriously as in the severity of the injury, but if he literally is sore after sliding.
Really sore.
Come on, man.
They had to get imaging.
Come on, man.
You heard it, Tyler. Have you seen anything lately about the imaging we got?
Hell no, because they ain't got no damn imaging. Yeah, their imaging ain't worth the damn. Nah. Almost cussed. Their imaging ain't worth the dang anyway.
It's not worth the damn. You can say that.
No, I almost said worth the S.
Oh.
That's illegal,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well.
That almost came out naturally too. Sorry, y'all.
Almost. Yeah, it. That's one piece of this thing. And the other piece, and we can talk about this a little bit more later if we have time.
Y'all just going to dismiss him diva tendencies?
Yes. He's got bad knees, man. Come on, man.
Since they've been surgically repaired, they're great.
But you get surgery on both those knees, man. There's people out here who've got new hips. Still got bad hips.
New hip. You walking in a week.
He's hurt. He's hurting now a little bit. But the big other big story over the weekend, Clint, is Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. We've said he's had a few more starts left. He had, I think he has two left. Well, one left after this last one. But he went 4 2/3, 8 hits, 6 earned, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 86 pitches. His ERA is up to 5.55. And the worst part about everything, fellas, is when he exited the game, they hit my man like he's never going to play again. They hit my standing man with that standing O. Like it is done. And he tipped the cap like, hold on, man. Just gave up all them runs. Like, we don't give him no standing O for it. Let's slow down. But when you start hearing him use the words of, hey, I can understand if they don't put me on the
It's that time, baby.
The roster. If he says that, it's that time.
He's letting Dana and Joe off the hook.
He is.
Not that it's a tough decision at this point in time, but he's letting them off the hook in the standpoint of them having to tiptoe around it and call him in and have him face the music. He's facing the music himself.
Yep. Just in case we don't get there, that was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Mullins wondering if they have to snap the ball again. And they don't have to snap the ball again. It is over in Minnesota. The Vikings throttle the Texans 34-7. Houston takes its first loss of the year and gets back into the division next week with a home date against the Jaguars.
Well, Clint Mandy had to get real set. Throttled. I'll get Tyler's thoughts too, your thoughts as well, because Tyler was in the building. But Clint, how shocked were you by this outcome of the game yesterday?
Shocked. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, you got. I mean,
is it that they lost in Toro?
It's all of it. I think the penalties are inexcusable for the highest paid offensive lineman, and really for the entire football team. The penalties have been inexcusable the last two games for the team. They've been inexcusable for 3 weeks for Laremy Tunsil. You expect the team to be better. You expect Laremy Tunsil to be better. They got outcoached without a doubt. No stuttering. D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick got outcoached by Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores to the tune of 34-7. It ain't a hot take. It ain't stirring the pot. It's the real thing. Go back and watch it. It was a mess. The plans were suspect from jump. The adjustments were suspect. And it's one of several reasons why they got their ass kicked yesterday. You look at the inability to run the football. Boy, they fooled my ass after week one against Indy. Even if Indy's not a good run defense, that was better than what they've shown the last 2 weeks. The inability to generate any level of a run game is a major, major issue. It's not because Joe Mixon wasn't in the game and Damian Pierce was hurt and Cam Akers. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's 2 weeks versus better defensive fronts in this game, better defenses in the league this year, and the Texans have absolutely stunk in terms of generating a run game. Again, the problem with the run game, the problem with pass protection, the problem with penalties, 2 weeks in a row, folks. 2 weeks in a row. There's layers to this, and it's extremely disappointing. And the scoreboard is the least of the worries at this point in time. To be completely honest with you, the way in which they got to 34-7 is what's really, really tough to understand right now.
Yeah. That's what it is for me. I'm not surprised at all that they lost. I thought this would be a tough one. We talked about it Friday, and when I posed the question to everyone, do you feel like you've reached a place with the Texans that you expect them to win a game on the road like this? And I know you were like, yes, I expect them to. I think you said you expect them to win games against any teams that aren't Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. Yep.
Home or road. And the biggest shock to me is I would have never thought 34-7. Like, I didn't think that the Texans would really get blasted by a lot of teams. Like, if any teams. I didn't think that with their coaching staff and the talent they have and just the way they play, unless there was some sort of an injury, that they would just get absolutely trounced the way they did yesterday. And that's the part.
In a game where they were favored on the road.
Yeah, they were favored. That's just the part for me. And it was clear early.
It was wire to wire, no question.
Yeah, this is, and then it kind of brought in, because that's why I said I'm not shocked that they lost, because I don't think that they've played particularly well the first 2 weeks in certain cases. And the thought was if they brought this game, they could lose. But I didn't think if they brought that type of game, they would just get absolutely destroyed by Sam Darnold. So that was the surprising part. But as D'Amico said just in the last hour, and many have said, back to the drawing board. You got you got the Jags in a divisional matchup coming back next Sunday at home, and you gotta kind of let that go and get back to being who you were hoping you would be. But, that one was surprising yesterday.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Text line came through. The Milner curse is back. It's just real. It's just real. Let's go up the road here, and the Cowboys.
Weak ass Cowboys.
Yeah, that is a good way to describe them, especially their they lose 28-25, and Clint, they trailed 28-6 in the fourth quarter, and they tried a crazy, crazy, crazy comeback, which was an onside kick that was recovered, and they drove it down, and then ultimately they were in a really good spot. 3 minutes left. They had all three of their timeouts and the two-minute warning, and they were down three. And then what happened in the game all day, the Ravens, when they wanted to and when they needed to, ran the football to the tune of 274 yards, and they never saw the ball again. But there was a lot. There was arguments of Micah Parsons on the field with DeMarcus Lawrence. There was CeeDee Lamb and Dak, and CeeDee Lamb, he was pouting the whole game, it seemed like, after he fumbled. And I got to say, Clint, we're getting close to having to admit that you might have been right about this fall apart, because that was bad all around. Body language, everything on the sideline, and just they just can't stop anybody. If you want to run the football, you're going to run the football against the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, this is the Cowboys, though, right?
274.
I mean, they got dominated in a game that ended up 28-25. As you said, they make the run. Dak Prescott ends up throwing it 51 times for damn near 400 yards. Those two touchdowns. It's going to be a game where, oh, look at Dak, man. Dak did his part. Dak threw up his numbers. Defense couldn't do this. Defense couldn't do that. The reality is they stunk all the way around. They were arguing on the sideline for a reason. The body language is bad. The body language on the sideline matches the body language in Jerry Sweet, and it's not good in either spot. Here's the thing with the Dallas Cowboys, because I think in times like this, like I don't ever want to minimize the Dak Prescott's ability, the leadership ability, the ability to spin a rock around a park. At the end of the day, this thing has run its course. This thing's run its course. Change is necessary, and change is good. Right? Not now. You're right. I mean, but at the end of the day, this thing has run its course. Everybody's rolling their eyes at everybody, whether it's CeeDee Lamb at Dak or it's Mike McCarthy and Jerry. Everybody is like, everybody is over it. That's ran its course. There's no, they're buddy buddies. There's no. Leadership, if you will, not questioning the leaders. They're good people. They're like, it's run its course in this particular organization. And I don't know if it's going to end up right, because I think there's enough time for last week, for either one of these teams to rebound in the divisions that they're in. But boy, it doesn't look good in Dallas.
No, that was the bad one. They get the Giants coming up on Thursday, but that was rough. But it is. Like the last four home games that they have had, and they were undefeated during the regular season last year.
Yeah.
And were great the year before that. They have just gotten rolled.
Who was that? Detroit, Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay got them in
Detroit
the playoffs.
Got them before that at home.
No, they beat. I think they beat Detroit, didn't they? Yeah, they beat Detroit because it was a bad call. It was a bad call. They didn't. They said the guy didn't report.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
but,
right.
But Green Bay just drilled them, and then
in the playoffs.
Year.
And then Baltimore and
then who got them last week?
The Saints. That fourth team, I can't remember who it is. It's a good football team. The point is, it's a good football team at home, and they can't get it done.
Buffalo beat the hell out of them in Buffalo last year late. I mean, yeah, they've stuck it up. All right, coming up, we've been doing this after games here this year, and I'm really intrigued to hear your thoughts. C.J. Stroud's grades. What would you say C.J. Stroud's grade was yesterday in the first loss against the Vikings? 21 of 30, 215, one touchdown, two interceptions, sacked four times, hit eight times, and left the game as Davis Mills finished it. What was C.J. Stroud's grade yesterday? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Texans lose a tough one on a Reaction Monday, 34-7. Tyler was there in the building, and the curse is now official. There is no turning back. The Milner curse.
I'm not promising to not go to another away game, though.
I know it. And I think you just have to keep going until it ends.
What?
Yep. Maybe start slow. Maybe go ruin the dynamo or the dash first to see if that works.
I have always wanted to go to a dynamo game. I've never been.
No, it's not the home ones. But go when they play the LA. Is that still a team? The LA Galaxy.
Galaxy, I think so.
Chicago Fire. New England Revolution.
Is Galaxy who Beckham played for?
Yeah, I believe so. There's a couple of LA teams now. But yeah, man, go ahead and try that out first. All right. I wanted to get this your grades. 713-572-4610. Those are on YouTube and Twitch. The grades in particular for CJ Stroud. We've been doing this every week. I think maybe he got an A in week one or week two, one of those weeks where I think maybe last week, just because of how the game was going, the way he handled things. But they struggled today, 34-7, as I said. His numbers, 21 of 30, 215 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. Sacked four times, hit eight times, so that probably had something to do with his issues. How would you grade CJ's performance yesterday, Clint?
I got him with a C minus. C minus. Look, there were it would have. That's about as harsh as I can be. When you look at the intercept, the first one's a tip pass, the second one's a force.
Hadn't seen a lot of that.
There was one that was thrown up down the sideline that he got lucky on. You know, there was he wasn't the biggest problem, but there's. When you turn the football over late in the game where you're trying to make a comeback, when it's still you get a puncher's chance at the very, very end, it's hard to – and you throw into coverage like that, it's hard to give it an A or a B for me. But I would go in the C range, CC minus. It wasn't a good day for anybody out there. He was put in some situations where it's extremely difficult to overcome. And it was just – I hadn't the all 22 hadn't dropped yet. I hadn't seen that. So it seems to me like CJ Stroud is holding the football a lot longer than what he was last year. It seems to me like CJ Stroud is not taking that quote unquote boring stuff. Now, maybe that's him. Maybe that's Bobby Slowick's game plan. I don't know. But for those reasons, appears to be holding the football. Didn't really adjust that approach at any point in time. Forced the ball into coverage on the late interception. It's ultimately he's the leader of a group that can't line up right. So I've got to I'll go see.
Toby on YouTube and Twitch at C+. Champ Slice had him at a D. C minus. What was the last game Tyler attended? The Texans won. I think he attended last week's game. You were at the Bears.
Yeah,
game.
I was at Sunday Night Football.
Home game.
It's not a home game thing, gentlemen or lady that's texting
except
in.
Except for game seven, the Rangers and the Astros. But other than that, yeah, it's not a home game thing. And Klay Thompson went off also when he showed up.
That's the best one.
It is. When he showed up at the
All of a sudden, center. His knees were just fine.
CJ was a great, was a D from the text line. I give everybody an F from the text line. Gus and Katie, C minus. I'm with you. I'm a little lower. I'll go with D here as well. Like you said, I think he got away with a pick there late. I think there were some moments, and you just alluded to it with him holding the ball long. I think there are some moments he could have helped his line out by getting the ball out. And at least throwing it away or doing something, but he was sacked and hit eight times, so that had something to do with it. But I think my big point is for this is you also hit it there. Like, this is whose team is this? This is CJ's team, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
This damn Absolutely. Sure is CJ's offense, right? I see Stephon Diggs calling the offense together.
Mm-hmm. Bobby and Stephon
trying to get them going. Like, at some point, we get four penalties in a row from the offensive line because they can't line up or they keep jumping. Like, that's got a fault. Like, if this is your team, this is your offense.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
Like, I gotta, like, at some point, like, I know his leadership style can be the uplifting, man, I believe in you, but at some point, we got to get in somebody's ass. I don't care. Like, at some point, we got it in some way. You know, the nice guy thing, like, at some point, when it gets that bad penalty-wise, and these are, as you said, just, we can't line up. We can't get a snap off. We turn a third and four to a third and 19. Like, so to me, that as the leader of this team and the leader of this offense in particular, I've got to put some of that on him, just like, you know, the stuff with Slowick not having the preparation together there.
Yeah, I agree, Ron. Here's the thing, and this is going to be interesting. We'll talk about this later in the week, I'm sure. But
could you imagine if your team did that? Linda would be all in your head. Oh, get him! No, shut him up!
Ain't no doubt.
I got no use for you.
I don't know how CJ isn't animated, like, on the field, like, looking at Lemmy, like, move your ass, move up! Like using his hand, like move up, man, get this right. You're killing drives. Like, I don't know how he's not doing that. I was never one to call players out, but if we're four or five in, I got to at least give you a little gesture. Get a little pat on the ass, man. Hey, move on up there, bub. So I don't know how he's not doing it. But we're at a time with CJ and Bobby and D'Amico and everybody where, boy, everything's been gravy since you got here. The expectations were nothing. You clearly exceeded those. You won a bunch of games. You go to the playoffs. You exceeded the expectations. Even when things were bad, it was one of those like, hey, yeah, they're bad right now. This game was rough, but boy, they're exceeding expectations the last 2 weeks.
The arrow's pointed up.
Hey, man, we're three games into this thing. This offense has not been good. The only part that's been good, we can now lean into, well, the Indianapolis Colts ain't worth the damn stopping to run. And you got all these weapons, supposed to be all this explosive. Can't, for whatever reason, it hadn't equated to points. So we're going to see how – and now D'Amico's in a spot where somebody's got to deal with Laremy Tunsil. There's got to be something.
Hello. You know,
this something is this has reached him.
No question. And it's so obvious that you can't just ignore it. So you know, it's been relatively easy last year because you were exceeding expectations the whole time. Now we're at a point where it's like, okay, all right, fellas, what you gonna do now?
And I'll acknowledge some here.
Sean said last night the honeymoon's over. I think we're getting there.
That's the second time Sean said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he had it last year at some point. But I will acknowledge here from the text line, he is young. He is just starting his second year, and in terms of the leadership part. I get that, but I just listen.
I disagree with that.
Well, I'll just say it may not be fair. Yes, I think I will acknowledge that this is just what the third game in his second year of his career. But they've handed it him. They've handed this to him, and he has taken it in every manner. This is his team. That's got to be his too. That he's got to fall into that role. That's got to be him, not Diggs and Slowick over there. All right, coming up. our players of the game. You can get, you can always be involved in that. Our players of the game. And the question I've been, I was wondering last night sitting there, at what point and how early was it when you knew that the Texans were in trouble in that game yesterday? We'll discuss that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Reaction Monday, and it was a tough one, 34-7. It was never, ever really, really close. It was 14-0 after the first quarter. And it looked like there was a glimmer there. The Texans got it to 21-7, and then weren't able to really do much else to get closer to the Vikings. The Vikings moved to 3-0. The Texans to 2-1. But we get to do this thing, have a good time, and try to find a player of the game. Look, a lot didn't go right yesterday. And yes, there are some struggles there, but there were still some guys who had some big moments. I'll start with mine as we do our Man Eye Institute player of the game. My Man Eye Institute player of the game is Davis Mills. Davis Mills came in there, went, what'd he go? 7-12, I believe. Yeah. 7-12, 80 yards. I'll be frank with you. That was, and listen, I'll be honest, I think that the Vikings defense and maybe their coverage had something to do with it. Although they were still blitzing. Brian Flores was still turning up the heat. But that was to me arguably the best the passing game looked all day, was when Davis Mills was in there. It's the most that Tank Dell has been. He had two separate big plays in that period when Davis Mills was in, and he got the ball to Diggs a couple of times as well. So good for him to come in against Brian Flores and that defense. And hell, that there's an argument it's the best the passing game, just literally in terms of in the offense and not, you know, some of the off script stuff that CJ has been able to be really, really good at. But it was the best the offense has looked in terms of passing game. For the Texans, definitely it was yesterday. So I give my game my player of the game to old Davis Mills. 7 of 12, 80 yards. Good for you,
Davis. You know, that was, it's a rough outing when Davis Mills is rough week when Davis Mills boy, is I mean, getting hey, the
it was a rough week.
Player of the game, boy. Woo, that's ugly. I got to go with Stephon Diggs. You know, went in there to a place where he used to play and had his best game as a Texan. 10 catches, 94 yards. Was a bigger part of the offense this week than he has been. We talked about it last week. Would Stephon Diggs or maybe somebody this week for one of those other guys to go off a little bit? Stephon Diggs put up some good numbers, had some catches, even threw a pass on a throwback throwback to Dare Agunbowale for a first down, 13-yard gain. So it's slim pickings here, but yeah, I got to go with Stephon Diggs, man.
Stephon Diggs, yeah, big game. Came close to breaking that streak of 100-yard games still since October 15th. He hadn't reached 100 yards. But we did wonder, who would there be one of these receivers step in and kind of step up? We talked about Tank and him in particular, and he did. Because, again, also with Diggs at that point, it was not just late. Like, he was probably the guy, the target, when the game was closer yeah. when they were still in the first half and in the third quarter. So, yeah, Diggs, his best game individually in terms of catches and yards that he's had this year. Them type of targets he used to right there.
Yeah.
double-digit targets right there. All right, Tyler, who is yours?
Well, I sure as hell wasn't going to pick anyone on the offensive side of the ball because that is some of the nastiest, most disgusting, embarrassing examples of offensive football I've possibly ever seen in my entire adult life. So I went defense, and I'm going with Tim Settle Jr. He racked up 2 sacks.
T-Sizzle!
I don't think Tim Settle Jr. is ever going to win another one of these. Not taking a shot at you. Keep doing your thing, bro, but I'm going to go with Tim Settle Jr. today.
Hey, Andre Ware went with you. Andre Ware went with maybe he's – I think Mark caught him off guard. At the end of the game, he said, I know it's tough, man. I know it's tough in these moments, but didn't have too many guys play good today. But you got us a player of the game, and he stumbled around. And I think he actually said Cam Akers, you know, with the touchdown. And I said, damn, Dre, you missed an opportunity to give Big Tim Settle some love, man.
Two tackles for loss, too.
Yeah, two
sacks and 2 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
Nice outfit afterwards.
Oh, was he had a nice fit on?
Oh, it's like an all brown. Look, I couldn't quite read what was on the front of it.
I didn't see. What'd you do? Did you check the videos of them leaving the stadium?
Saw some photos, saw some stuff. Yeah, saw some interviews there. Yeah, he gave it to him. Old Champ Slice said, you got to be joking show. It's Ron, for starters. And no, I mean, hell, listen, guys, there's a lot of empty calories in that game yesterday. I got to give it to Davis Mills. He came in there. I thought he was about to get just destroyed. But he moved them jokers up the field. So good for him. All right, Tyler, you were there in person, so this is even more for you. At what point, like, when did you know? Was there a point where you're like, hey, shoot, they're in trouble today? Because, like, I know you went – if I know you, Tyler, you went up there optimistic as hell thinking they were going to get a W. Clint literally said Friday his expectation is that they go in there and win a game on the road like that. Many of you as well did. And what was the point when you knew – like, oh God, they're in trouble here. This is a problem. Like, this is a serious ass situation right now.
I think it might match yours because I think I remember you texting something earlier today. But the second I saw how early in the game they went to a trick play to achieve a first down,
12:06
at where they were at the field on the field at that point, just to get that first down, that's when I kind of raised my eyebrows and looked at Megan and was like, well. This might be a rough day.
You stole my whole thought. Clint, well, you got to pull out a trick play. Second quarter, 12:06, when you were, what'd you say, the team favorite on the road?
Red flag.
You got C.J. Stroud. You got Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins. By the way, I want you to know by this time, 12:06 in the second quarter, Nico Collins has not had a target yet in the game. Not a target. He leads the league in receiving. He hadn't had a target yet. At this point, you got to go trick play with a pass from not to Tank Dale. It's Stephon Diggs to Dare Agunbowale to pick up a 3rd and 12 that early. Woo! Yeah, that's to me, my fault. That was like, oh, they got a Bobby had to go to the dig in the well early to pull this thing out. That was
dang it, Bobby.
I was like, boy, they ain't got confidence. They can just turn around and run offense to get plays.
Yeah, but there's several points, man. For me, there, and I don't remember exactly the timestamp, but the tight end blocking Jonathan Grenard was when I knew we were in trouble.
So the first snap of the game.
Not the first time. The first time I was like, that's
Johnny Greener.
That's got to be a mistake. How the hell that happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did.
When I saw it the second and third time where it was a tight end on a true rush end, I was like, this is not good.
Because this is the game plan.
It was up 14-0, and I'm like, you're not going to adjust. This is what we're going to do. Like, to me, that's when I knew, all right, that's why I said at halftime, like, this game hinges on your halftime adjustments. Like, you, in a major way, you can't go back out there and think you're going to keep doing what you were just doing on the offensive side of the football or the defensive side of the football and win this ball game. And it looked like, obviously, defensively, they made some adjustments. Didn't help. I mean, it just eliminated Justin Jefferson. Some of the other guys kept going off. So I would say the most – I don't remember the time stamp, but I think for me the most down moment was about the second or third time that I saw them trying to block an edge rusher with a tight end.
Yeah. Yeah. From the text line, it was over as soon as Tyler bought his plane ticket.
Shut the hell up.
Second play of the game. So I'll just tell you what someone said, second play of the game.
Not you, them.
Someone said, I knew we were in trouble when we missed the field goal in the first quarter. Damn, the 54-yarder?
Well, I did think, damn, is that Kymie's first miss this season? Like, I was...
Text line, when I saw CJ's drip.
Well, that's rude.
I got an ugly... he's bringing it, by the way. I got an ugly feeling... After the first interception, Gus and Katie.
The tip?
Yeah, the tip. Yeah. No, it was it was early there. You knew there was a thought like, all right, Minnesota at home, they're probably ready for this sucker. They're going, especially with the ex-Texans on the field that they had there, that they were gonna start out fast, just hang in and weather the early storm with that crowd. It was more than that. It was more than that. And I'm just like, ooh, that's the thing. Boy, you pulling out a trick play before you said,
yeah,
let me throw the ball to Nico Collins.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's just it was bad football all the way around. I mean, the thought early on for me was, boy, the Texans, and the scoreboard obviously showed it when it was up 14-0. You got the good Sam Darnold. He tried to go bad on the little flip or whatever the hell he tried to do early on. They called it an incomplete pass.
Where he went, Will Levis?
Yeah, he tried to flip it, which is the right call, but it was still one of those, like, what the hell is this guy doing? Other than that, man, that dude played lights out.
Yeah, they did. Aaron Jones ran the ball well. They did what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Him all-around game, yeah, it was early. It was early when you knew, like, They were in some trouble. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, there's layers to this now. It's a reaction Monday. The Texans get the doors blown off of them, and we've got things we got to cuss and discuss. I got three things for you. The three most alarming takeaways from this game, and they're good, and they're you should be concerned. You should be alarmed. If you're a Texans fan, you should be downright pissed off. We're going to talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.